Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Treadstone Show. It's May 30th. This is a show where I go one-on-one with different athletes, musicians, comedians, and entertainers. My last guests have been NFL players Devin Bush, who was recently drafted, and then before that was Hakeem Vallis, who recently retired. So after listening to this podcast, there are plenty more to listen to. Be sure to subscribe to this and leave 5 stars. But before we continue, it's time for the intro music, and then we're going to go live with tonight's guest.
Training facility to the field with ability. Athletes are working hard, the progression is stressing. People are set, some of the passing. It's the smell of the grass and the pain and the action, the focus, the passion, the thought of the plaque and a trophy all made out to your name. It's the money, it's the fame, it's the feeling they get when they're playing in the game. What's the number on their back and the representative name? It's MJ playing way back in the day. It's glory, it's scoring. This is story. This is Sports Nation. It's been this way for generations. Pro Sports Extra is where I get my information. Athletes with their pursuits and endeavors. Sports will entertain the whole world. It'll be this way forever. And for more of that, we going live with Trevor the Expert.
All right, guys, I hope you're having an awesome afternoon. And shit, if you're not, go to the fridge, crack a cold one, light up the bong, and chill for the next half hour. I've got one badass that's calling in. No, it isn't Justin Bieber. It's kind of close, though. It's the next best thing. He saved us from going to hell. He saved Cinco de Mayo. You've seen him rap in the WWE. He's been a part of all the different with over 340,000 followers on Twitter. The one and only Dylan Bostic. Dylan, how's it going, bro?
It's going, bro. It's been a rough day, but
well, man, I appreciate you jumping on it. I'm doing good, bro. I saw your tweet early. What's that about? You just busy right now? A lot going on?
Yeah, busy, getting ready to run the welterweight pay-per-view this weekend in one of my hometowns. It's just been stressful, you know. Anytime you run a type of event like this, like, there's always people that, like, feel negative about wrestling, so they try to shut it down. Like, they do everything they can to, like, get the show canceled. So I've been setting out fires all day, basically. So, or putting out fires, I should say. But it's been a day.
Well, that's how people are nowadays, you know. They try to shut down everything.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't understand.
It's just frustrating for the people, especially like someone like you that has credibility behind the stuff that you're doing, and that people try and shut you down for no reason when you already got things planned. That'd be pretty frustrating.
Yeah, it's haters. You know how it is.
That's how it goes. So my first question, bro, is when did wrestling like become part of your life? Was it like a early childhood dream, or when did it come into fruition?
The first time I saw pro wrestling was I remember I was 5 years old, and I think my mom and I were living in St. Paul, Indiana, like one of the smallest towns ever. And I saw it on the TV, and we watched it for maybe like 5 minutes, and I was instantly hooked. And then it was during a storm, and our power went out, and, like, I just kept bawling, like, begging my mom to put wrestling back on, but we couldn't because the power was out. But I didn't understand that as a kid, you know what I mean? So it just ever since then, I was completely hooked. So
was there other sports that you played growing up, or was it just mainly focusing on wrestling, or was it, like, did you play basketball or other sports?
Yeah, so when I was in high school, I played basketball all throughout high school, but I think, like, I could have been a lot better, like, basketball player if I would have focused on it, but I was already doing shows in pro wrestling when I was 15, so, like, I started training when I was 12, I had my first pro match when I was 15, and I was already, like, traveling, like, the Midwest, you know, doing shows every weekend and even on weekdays. So, like, when I was in high school, bro, I was wrestling on HWA in Cincinnati, Ohio on Wednesday night. So, like, I'd wrestle Wednesday night and then go home. And actually, ironically, like, you know, the big talk's been Jon Moxley. But, like, one of the times I remember, the best was on a Wednesday night, I wrestled Jon Moxley at HWA and then had to go to school the next day. And then, like, some guy, like, started some stuff with me about wrestling. And I'm like, dude, bro, you have no idea. Like, go back in your bubble, bro.
Right.
Like, it was crazy. Like, I'd be traveling all the time and, like, doing shows. But, like, whenever, like, the basketball season would hit, like, I'd still do shows, but not as many. But, like, obviously, I took wrestling way more serious than basketball. But, you know, I did all 4 years of high school basketball, but definitely wrestling was always number one in my life. So,
well, that takes away from my next question, because it was going to be, when did wrestling become like something that you knew it was going to be your career? But it seems like that happened at a young age.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just, my next question was going to be that, was to ask when, like, you realized wrestling was going to be your career, but it seems like that happened at, like, a really early age.
Oh, yeah, man, like, I don't know if I was the youngest at the time, but, dude, I was definitely, like, the youngest in any area around me that I was at. So, and everybody was always like, man, like, and this is one thing that, like, I don't like now, like, and I make sure I don't tell young kids this in the business, because when I was coming up, like, I was, like, really, really athletic and could do, like, all the stuff that you're seeing now, like, wrestling's evolved into, like, all the flips and high flying, all the crazy stuff. Like, I was doing that back then when I was 15 before I really knew better, like, that I was going to get hurt and shit. Like, I was already
right.
doing that stuff, but, like, all these people were like, oh, dude, you're so good, like, at such a young age, bro. Like, you're going to get signed. Like, you're going to blow up. You're going to be, like, the next, like, big thing, da-da-da-da-da. And, like, that is not what you want to tell, put in a kid's head, because, like, you know, it gave me an ego at a young age, which, you know, is normal whenever you're young and starting out in wrestling. Like, it's going to go to your head no matter what. Like, that's just
right.
one of those things. But it really went to my head. But not only did it go to my head, like, once stuff started, like, not happening, dude, like, I've had to battle, like, bad depression and stuff. Like, because I got on WWE when I was 20, and I almost got a job with them at that point. I had a meeting with a couple of the people in the office about getting a job there. And then they ended up, you know, telling me, I don't know, you're so young, like, we don't want to sign you and then be the cause of something bad happening in your life and, like, you ruining your life. And at the time, it, like, really pissed me off, because I was like, no, this is all I want. This is all I ever, you know, wanted. And, like, honestly, it was a good thing that they didn't sign me then, because, you know, who knows what would have happened, and I was super immature at that time. But, like, it's one of those things where, yeah, now that stuff hasn't really worked out, and I've had, you know, all these opportunities with WWE, Impact, Ring of Honor, like, and nothing's really worked out in, like, the mainstream wrestling scene. Like, it gets depressing and frustrating after you've been fed your whole career and life, like, really my life, because I was just a kid, that I was going to be something, and then it didn't turn out that way. I mean, I still, you know, consider myself one of the best indie wrestlers in the world, if not the best, but, like, that doesn't really – I don't know. I need more from wrestling, if that makes sense. I don't, you know, expect anything. The wrestling business doesn't owe me anything. But at the same time, I feel like I've earned some opportunities. I should get a legitimate shot somewhere and not these, like, weird opportunity
Side.
Deals. But
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. Was there any wrestler, like, when you were young that kind of pulled you in and helped you the most?
Actually, there was quite a few. So, like, you know, I wouldn't say that there was, like, one wrestler is the reason why I got in the business. Like, I don't – and when people say that, maybe it's true, but I don't feel like that's it. Because for me, it was the whole aspect of the show. Like, I just enjoyed the whole show, top to bottom. Even, like, the ones that weren't good or, like – I don't know. It was just something about wrestling that just – I loved it. And but, like, to name a couple wrestlers, like – Macho Man Randy Savage was my first favorite. My favorite, and still this day, my favorite of all time. But, like, growing up a little bit longer, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin, obviously. I mean, that's one of everybody's favorites.
Right.
And in WCW, I loved Goldberg. I thought Goldberg was awesome. I loved Sting, like, the NWO. Like, it was just, really, it was wrestling. So, like, when I was a kid, my dad took me to WCW. It actually was the night that Dustin Rhodes had that, like, really bad gimmick debut or whatever, and, like, he cut a shoot promo or whatever. I don't know. It was that night. It was in Indianapolis. And, like, the fans that we were sitting around kept, like, yelling, like, saying, oh, screw WWF, da-da-da-da-da, like, we're only WCW fans. And, like, I didn't understand that because I was, like, a fan of wrestling. So I just, like, was like, oh, they're like, you don't watch that WWF show, do you? And I was like, yeah, I love wrestling. I watch everything, bro. I was like, I don't care what it is. If it's wrestling, I'm watching it. Like, heck yeah, dude. So, like, I wouldn't say it was any, like, you know, one person or anything. It was just the show, top to bottom.
Right. So when you ended up, I think it was the first time you were on the WWE, I saw a video. Did you have to rap or something? What was going on with that? Was that your first time working with the WWE?
No. So, all right. So the first time I got brought in for a tryout was in Tampa, Florida, when it was called Florida Championship Wrestling. It was before they had NXT. So I did that, and like about a year later, because I was still in high school when I did that tryout. And then about a year later, they called me and had me start coming and doing extra work and like tryout matches and stuff like that. So like I'd done a few shows with WWE, like Raw and SmackDown stuff, but wasn't on TV. And then I remember that day, like it was crazy. So like one of the things, like, you know, you got to get yourself out of your comfort zone. So like one of the things that like William Regal would preach on would be, so like whenever, if you get a job here, you know, you're going to be asked to do like embarrassing things that are going to make you feel uncomfortable. You know, that's just part of being an entertainer. He's like, so what you got to do is think of like the one thing that they could ask you to do that would be the most embarrassing for you. And you need to do that all the time and practice it until you feel comfortable with that. Because then if you can, like, you know, conquer that, they can never ask you to do anything that will embarrass you, you know? And legit,
yeah,
the same day he's saying this to me, I'm thinking, oh, it'd probably be like singing or dancing. I'm like, that would be the most embarrassing. And he's like, and he goes, oh, but they would probably never ask you to do the most embarrassing thing or nothing. It probably wouldn't happen. Like the chance of that happening are slim to none. And then literally 5 minutes after that, they come up to me and they're like, oh yeah, you're gonna wrestle tonight, and you're gonna do something a little different. We're gonna have you do an in-ring promo. It's a little different. Here's your script. You're going to do a rap. And I'm like, what? Like, literally, that is like the one, like, that and dancing would be like the one thing at that time, you know, because I was like a kid, I was shy. And I'm like, man, this is terrible. So, like, we had to go over the rap a million times, and, like, it was fine and everything, but I was like, dude, I'm so nervous about this rap. I mean, there's thousands of people that are live. There's going to be over a million people at home watching. I'm like, bro, this is embarrassing. I'm like, and the rap was good. I remember saying
that
to
was,
the writer,
it was
like,
terrible.
Oh yeah, I said to
it
the
was
writer,
really
said,
terrible.
Yeah, I said to the writer, I said, you know, this rap isn't very good, right? And they go, oh no, it's not supposed to be good. It's supposed to be bad. I'm like, oh okay. And I was like, I understand that, but like, dude, it was so bad. And then I don't know if you saw it. I had a video go kind of viral on Twitter not too long ago, because I had a what was it? I had three matches recently with Ryback on the Indies. And the first match they announced, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do a rap. I'm going to do a freestyle for everybody. Cause I gotta basically like live up that last one. Cause that last one was bad. Dude.
Right. That
and
was
like,
terrible.
I did a pretty good rap. That was pretty funny. And like, I used like the lines that they gave me. And then like in the end, I trashed it and was like, yeah, it's this rap's way better. Cause it's not something that, I said, because it's not something WWE wrote, and everybody died for that. Everybody was laughing, bro, because I burned them hard. but they knew it was.
I haven't saw that video, but I'm definitely gonna check it out after this. No doubt in my mind. But
yeah, it was fun.
So, was there any match? You know, you talked about growing up, you getting involved with the WWE and whatnot. Was there a match that you think kind of boosted your career to the next level?
At that point, you mean?
At really any point in your career, you know, was there just one match that stands out to you as the one match?
Like, I thought I had good matches for a while, but I didn't really realize I hadn't reached my full potential yet. Which even like to this day, every time I have like a match or something, I always feel like I'm better. Like, I'm better at, if it's like getting the fans into it, or better facials or better aggression, like being more intense in the ring. I just like every match I feel better about. And I think, I'm trying to remember when it was. It was a few years ago in Indianapolis. I wrestled one of my good friends, Jake Oman. And we had like probably, I don't know, 30, 50 matches together over the years, because, like, he was always the best guy out of Indiana, and I was always the best guy out of Indiana. So, like, everybody would book that as their main event. So, like, we had, I think it was, like, it was over 35 minutes. I think the video is, like, 40-some minutes long, but the match was, like, 35 minutes, something like that. And that match was still, to this day, one of my favorite matches I've ever had. And, I mean, we just went all in, like, we went all in, man. We killed ourselves, like, and just great story, like, great storytelling, like, just a great match, and super intense, and had the people the whole time. The people were so into it the whole time. But that match, like, after that, like, I started having, like, great, great matches. And I think it was, like, that match which showed me where I was at. And I was like, oh, man, I could do this all the time and, like, really kill it. You know what I mean? So then, like, a month later, I wrestled, like, a final, like, a big blow-off match in Pittsburgh for IWC, which is, like, one of the best indie companies in the world. And it was me and another guy, and I was a super indie champion. I just won the super indie tournament, and I'd been, like, feuding with this guy all year and, like, defending against different people and stuff. And so I had good matches leading up to that, but then we had a really, really good match at the biggest show of the year. And I remember we were, like, third or fourth on the card, which kind of, like, pissed me off. It was like, man, we've been, like, building this up, and I feel like – I felt like at that time, I was like, I feel like the people are more invested in our match than the main event. And it wasn't to be, like, cocky or anything like that. I just – from the way people were reacting and, like, the way – and, like, I always pay attention to, like, the main companies I'm in. I make sure I pay attention to, like, their social media and see, like – how people are, like, commenting or, like, liking, retweeting or whatever on each match that they post, like, to see what those people are more excited for. And I always felt like our match was by far, like, the most – like, it wasn't even a close second. And I remember when they put us on, like, third or fourth and didn't give us, like, a good amount of time, I was, like, pissed off. So I was like, dude, we're just going to go out there and we're going to kill it. We're going to steal the show. Like, screw that. We're stealing the show. And, like, we were really professional about it. And, like, me and the promoter, we're good friends. And after the match, he was like, dude, that was awesome. That was so good. And when we were out, like, after, like, in the with the crowd and stuff, like, people just kept coming up to me, dude. And, like, IWC books, like, all the top indie names. Like, they have that super indie tournament, so they book all the top, you know, indie darlings, indie stars, like, the guys that are supposed to be the best, whatever. And I just remember fans coming up to me and saying, dude, that was the best match we've seen here in years. Like, that was one of the best matches, like, since CM Punk and AJ Styles days. And, like, I was like, man, heck yeah. I felt like we did good. I didn't think we did, you know, that good, but I was like, oh, man, that's great. Then they had their year-end awards, and we won, like, every category for all their awards, including best match of the year. So we got best match of the year, so that, like – normally I don't really care about stuff like that, but, like, that time I did because I was, like, kind of pissed off and, like, I kind of, like, wanted to prove myself. So I was happy with that. But those two matches were, like, the ones that really elevated me as a performer.
All right, awesome. So as everyone who, like, follows me probably knows, I'm not, like, the biggest wrestling guy. I watch WrestleMania. I watch a couple events here and there. And then I saw McAfee launch Office Championship Wrestling. So I've got a couple more questions for you, and then we're going to go over to Brad Shepard. He's from the Oh You Didn't Know wrestling show, and he also blogs for Pro Sports Extra. He's going to call in and ask a couple questions. I've got, like, two more here. So how did you and Pat, like, you know, connect? I know you guys are both indie guys. Was that mainly how the connection started?
So years ago, I don't even remember what year it was, maybe 2013. I think it was like 2013 because I was still in OVW. We followed each other on Twitter, and then he showed up at OVW with Rip, and like we hit it off there, and like we've kept in contact over the, you know, the years or whatever. And then he had me on his podcast after my last WWE tryout at the Performance Center, and then when I was down at WWE NXT TV tapings, I saw him there, and we had like a brief second because I was like busy with producers or whatever, and he was doing his thing. But but we've just kept in contact, and then whenever I was moving back here to Indy, I hit him up. I was like, oh, hey, man, I'm going to be back in town if you want to, like, you know, get together or something. And I was like, if you guys are looking for anybody to hire on at the, you know, the office, let me know. whatever. And then he just immediately was like, oh, yeah, yeah, dude, come to the office, blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't thinking it was going to be anything or whatever. And then, like, I had my big car accident and all that stuff. And then he hit me up, making sure I was all right and stuff. And then, like, he's like, oh, when you get back to town, just let me know. No rush, whatever, da, 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 da. And then as soon as I came back, I texted him. He's like, oh, come to the office tomorrow, whatever, X amount or X time. Like, all right, cool. So I go to the office, and then he starts laying out the idea of OCW and everything, and I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be really cool. I didn't expect all that. I was like, damn, this is sweet. This is a sweet deal, man.
Right.
So I was really happy with that and, like, really thankful for Pat because he really helped me out. I mean, I was in a tough spot after that car wreck and moving and everything. So he really helped me out, man. I owe that guy the world. He's the best.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude. I was just about to ask you about that car accident. I didn't even hear about it until I was, like, looking up some stuff for the show today. And can you kind of just talk about that? I saw something about, did someone hit you going, like, 100 miles an hour? Or I just saw the headline. I didn't even really want to get into it because I would rather hear it from you. So what happened in your point of view?
Yeah, so I was driving in the – I was in Florida. I just crossed over the border from Georgia. And I think I don't remember exactly where I was at, but I was just getting into Florida, and I was driving the speed limit, which was 70, in the slow lane. I was in the slow lane, and I was just driving, and the next thing, and there was like no cars on the road, which is funny because I'll talk about like that whole situation too. But there was no cars on the road, you know. So I'm just driving in the slow lane, chilling. Next thing I know, I see headlights coming at me really fast. And, like, by the time I noticed, I mean, dude, he had hit me so hard, my car just started flipping. So, I mean, if you take in the fact that I'm going 70 in the same direction he's going, with him hitting me that hard to where his whole front end of his SUV smashed and my whole rear end smashed and my car flips multiple times, I mean, dude, he had to have been going over 100 miles an hour. Easily over 100 miles an hour. And then, like, it was just crazy, man. And then, like, they had to put me on a stretcher and a neck brace. Like, I was bleeding everywhere. Like, oh, man, it was bad news. But now the guy
that's
is, like,
crazy.
He was trying to fight it in court, saying I was swerving in and out of traffic. I'm like, bro, in the middle of the night, there's no traffic.
Right.
Oh, man. And you rear-ended me. You rear-ended me. Case closed, bro. So, anyway,
right.
So I'll probably end up having to get to court over all this stuff, but. It's been a headache, nightmare.
But hey, at least you're still alive, man, because that sounds pretty scary. So at least you're still here and we're able to do this podcast.
Yeah, not going to lie, though, as I was flipping and it continued to flip, I thought 100% sure it was game over. I was like, yep,
right.
this is it.
Well, after seeing something like that, I'm sure, you know, that'd be tough. But guys, all right, we got like 6 minutes here, I think, of recording time left. So we're going to go over to Brad Shepard. He's from the Oh You Didn't Know Wrestling Show, and he blogs here at Pro Sports Extra. What's going on, Brad?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, brother?
Going good.
So I'll go ahead and get right into it, Dylan. It's nice to chat with you. You know, I think you would probably agree that pro wrestling's evolved a lot over the past, you know, several decades. What's one perception of pro wrestling that you would like to see change?
Perception, like, from the public or stuff that goes on, like, behind the scenes of the business?
I would say a public perception.
Public perception. You know, like, I'm trying to promote this event right now, right? So, you know, a lot of times when you go to, like, promote or, like, talk to people or whatever – and they're non-wrestling fans, they, like, get this perception of, like, wrestling's, like, bad news. It's, like, I don't know if it was, like, the Attitude Era that did that or ECW or whatever. But, like, the wrestling business has changed so much that it's not that anymore. I mean, you can make it that, but, you know, a lot of times when you're trying to do something really professional and, like, fun and, like, you know, I wouldn't say PG, but, like, kid-friendly, like, family-friendly, people are always just like, oh, that's garbage or whatever. Or just think that we're bad people. Like, the people in wrestling aren't like they used to be anymore. Like, it's just, I would love to change the public's perspective that, you know, the people that don't watch wrestling.
Yeah, I can totally get that. You know, sometimes the most entertaining part of pro wrestling, I think, it takes place backstage. Is there a funny backstage story that you'd be able to share with us?
Oh, yeah. So I got a match coming up with Billy Gunn, right? First time I had an interaction with Billy Gunn, we were wrestling each other on the show that day, actually. And we were in this gym, and me and him were shooting basketball together. And I don't know why, but, dude, I was lights out that day. And I was shooting, like several NBA-range threes in a row. And then I moved to the half court and just was cashing threes, like, ridiculous. And he was, like, getting pissed because he kept having to rebound my ball and just give it back to me so he wasn't getting to shoot. And on the last one, I just chuck up at a half quarter and nail it again, and I, like, start to walk away. And he just looks back at me and gives me, like, the weirdest look, like, who is this dude? And I looked at him, I'm like, yep, Steph Curry's almost as good as me.
Yeah, it's funny. Billy Gunn's great, too, by the way.
So ever since then, Billy Gunn and I don't get along because I'm better than him at basketball. That's all it is.
Oh, that's great. So I think, you know, probably there's a lot of mystique around the independent wrestling scene as far as public perception. What would be an average day for you? What would that look like?
Usually I wake up, get some breakfast in, go straight to the gym, work out, and then my day is filled with, you know, cussing people out or trying to figure out booking information or, like, basically dealing with a lot of bullshit, like, straight up bullshit, a lot. But it's stressful, man. It's just like I have to be my own agent. I have to be my own manager. I have to be my own publicist. Like, I have to do all this stuff, and I have to be an athlete at the same time. It's just, like, a lot, dude. It's a lot of stress.
No doubt. No doubt. Now, what's one cool thing about you that many people may not know?
When I was, like, 10 years old, I ended up having to have, and I used to not talk about this at all because it was super hush, because I didn't want WWE to know. But when I was 10 years old, I had heart surgery, like a major heart surgery, and they didn't think I was ever going to be able to play sports or anything like that. It's something like I've overcome like none other. Like, I have to do tests every year to get cleared to do WWE and, like, you know, wrestling or whatever, but WWE is, like, the main one that needs the clearance information. But anyway, like, when I do my stress tests and stuff, like, because I go to Pittsburgh, and that's where, like, WWE sends people, I think, and, like, a lot of,
right,
you know, pro sports teams send them to that cardiologist center. And, like, they said that my cardio is better than some of, like, the top athletes in the NFL that don't have a heart condition. So it's just something that I've had to work extra hard on. And whenever I went down to the PC and did my tryout with WWE, I noticed, like, they were pushing me a little bit harder than a lot of other people, and I noticed that they were, like, really, like, trying to kill me, basically. And I think it was just they were trying to test my heart to see where I was at. But, like,
right,
I dropped down to 175 for that tryout, like, because I knew my cardio needed to be insane. You know what I mean? So I went from 200 pounds to 175 for that tryout. And my cardio was awesome. So one thing I've really had to work on, and everybody always talks, like, wrestlers that don't even know that I have a heart condition, they'll be like, dude, your cardio is insane. I'm like, yeah, that's because I've had to work on it really hard. But
yeah. So right now, I think in 2019, what we see is the independent scene more than ever, maybe, is loaded with talent and talent trying to all get booked on the same shows. So with that being said, how do you stand out from everyone else in the independent scene?
I will agree that there's a lot of talented athletes and wrestlers. But the one thing that a lot of people don't have is charisma, you know, character, emotion. Like, Joey Ryan is one of the most popular guys in the Indies, right?
Right.
He is completely different than everybody else because he's got a character and because he has emotion. Like, dude, that dude has, like, you know, something else. So, like, I come with I would think a total package. So, like, I can do all kinds of stuff. I can do lucha. I can do strong style. I can do, you know, technical wrestling. Like, I can do basically everything. But I also have a character, and I stand out look-wise. So I think with, like, my character and stuff like that, I think that's where I stand out amongst everybody else. But I would say look, character, just the way I present myself, and probably all the trolling stuff I do online too. But
yeah.
But I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you completely nailed it from a, you know, a character and charisma standpoint, and that's something I've seen as well. And I think that's one of the things you do well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a lot of, like, I watch a lot of the wrestling shows. I'm blown away by the wrestling and stuff, but there's not a lot of guys like with characters anymore. It's like the same guy, like there he is. He's got his trunks and his kick pads on and he's doing the same wrestling stuff I saw in the last match, you know, but I always try to be completely different. It's always the game plan, but everybody's trying to like follow the wave. Like I always go against the wave. So like everybody's like going with the wave. That's why everybody looks the same and wrestles the exact same.
Yep.
All right, Brad, do you have any more questions? I think we got to wrap it up here in a minute. So if you got one last question, go at it.
That's it. Hopefully I haven't tortured Dylan too much, but that's all that I have.
No, I've been good.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. All right, I got one more question. The Vanilla Gorilla, Tanner himself, used hashtag TTSS and asked a question. His question to Dylan is, who is your dream opponent of someone who is no longer wrestling?
Someone that's no longer wrestling. Can it be somebody dead, or do they have to be alive?
Yeah, I think dead. He didn't say it, so it could be either way.
Okay, I would definitely have to say Macho Man Randy Savage then, just because I looked up to him so much as a kid, and like my trainer, they lived together for several years, and like he helped train and stuff with my trainer. So I would definitely say Macho Man Randy Savage for sure.
All right, perfect, Dylan. Where can everybody find you at on social media?
I only do Facebook and Twitter, or not Facebook. I only do Instagram and Twitter. So my Instagram is at Dylan
Facebook anymore.
Yeah. I have one, but I'm not on that stuff. So screw that.
Right.
But Instagram is at Dylan Bostic. It's DylanBostic. And then Twitter is at Dylan_Bostic.
All right, bro. I appreciate you hopping on. I know you got a busy weekend coming up, so we'll let you go here. I appreciate you, and hopefully have you on again.
Heck yeah, brother. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Dylan Bostic, pro wrestler, entertainer, one badass. Brad Shepard jumped on for about 10, 15 minutes, asked some questions. He is from the Oh You Didn't Know wrestling show. Thank you, Brad, for jumping on. He also blogs for Pro Sports Extra. Check us out, prosportsextra.com. Be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening and leave a 5-star review. Till next time, peace.